Hi, I'm Tamina, gender equality activist and sales professional at a global technology company. When I graduated from college in 2017, I was struggling to figure out how adulting works. School did not properly prepare me for some of the most basic things that my young professional life would eventually throw at me. If this sounds familiar, please join me on this journey to empower young women who are, just like myself, still in search of a fulfilling, purpose-driven life. Welcome to FemHive. On today's episode, I am super excited to welcome Eden Ashabir, who is not only incredibly successful in her job as a senior digital strategist at Ann Lewis Strategies, based in Washington, D.C., but she also happens to be my beloved college roommate. Today, Eden is going to share some really helpful advice on how to negotiate your salary, which is something that she has quite a bit of experience with at this point. Welcome, girl. It's so good to have you.
Hey, Tamina. Thanks so much. I'm honored for you to have brought me on here at all.
Of course. So, Eden, tell me a little bit about your current role at Ann Lewis Strategies. What is it that you do as a digital strategist?
Yeah, so I'm more specifically on the advertising team. So my primary role is running digital advertising programs for a variety of nonprofits. So organizations that work with, let's say, environmental issues or education issues or, you know, women's issues, so a wide variety there. But I also work on a number of political clients as well. But overall, really what I get to do is decide how to strategically use the dollars that our clients have to turn it around and hit their fundraising goals. Yeah, I primarily am just coming up with strategies and coming up with the content and leading a team that's doing those things as well.
Awesome. Sounds like you're having a lot of fun, but it must also be a lot of work, I'm assuming.
Yes, it's definitely not easy work, but it's really fulfilling, especially in these times.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Well, look, let's shift gears and talk about what we're supposed to talk about today on this episode, as in how to negotiate your salary. There's actually quite a lot of research out there saying that women negotiate their salaries significantly less frequently than men do, which doesn't surprise me at all. But why do you think that is?
You know, honestly, I think it comes down to we think that we've been granted permission to be in the room. In our everyday lives, just like growing up, we are constantly being punished as women for pushing back in the same place where men are encouraged. Like, forget about negotiating salaries. That's everywhere, right? And we are supposed to feel fortunate to have been given permission to enter the room that has always been a place for men, right? And so I think that's just something that we harbor within ourselves, right? Like, we feel that it's a privilege to be in this room. And that's enough. You know, I'm just happy to be in this room. I'm happy to even have a salary. I'm happy to have a job. Why push any further? Why push my luck? I think we're definitely coming out of that as a whole. But I think at this point, there's still a large part of that that is maybe not necessarily coming from the outer world, but it's just something that's stuck in us. It's just innate.
Yeah, I hear you. It's actually quite sad, but only one of many, many examples where, you know, societal pressure is having a negative effect on women, especially in the workplace. But on a more positive note, I know that you actually negotiated your starting salary at your current company right out of college, which eventually actually led to a higher offer. What prompted that decision on your end?
Obviously, did I want a higher salary? Yeah. The offer I initially got itself wasn't necessarily low, especially for me at the time, you know, having freshly come out of college, not really even knowing what I was about to get myself into. You know, it wasn't necessarily low, but I wanted something higher. It was that, but it was also a combination of a lot of the conversations and things I'd been reading and things like that that said to me, women don't negotiate, right? I knew I needed to do it both because I had wanted a higher salary, but also honestly, so that I could like set a standard. I think a lot of employers actually want you, or they definitely expect you to negotiate. So there's a little bit more leeway from their initial offer. But I think for me, I also was just keeping in mind, it kind of says something about who you're going to be once you're at the company, right? If you accept what you get in the first place, then maybe you're not someone who's going to like push back. Maybe I'm projecting something larger, but I do legitimately feel that, right? Like if I had just accepted it, then that's saying, oh, I'm going to accept things and not push back in my work just normally. If I'm willing to negotiate, that also says something to the employer, right? That I am somebody who is willing to push back if I think that it's warranted. So I think it definitely came from a lot of different places, but it wasn't even just solely about the numbers themselves. That makes sense.
That makes sense. So what I'm hearing is, well, one, you obviously had hoped for a higher number, but then two, was more about conveying to your future employer who you are as a person and that you're someone who is willing to always challenge the status quo and not just be satisfied with the first best option.
Exactly.
Wonderful. That. I love that. And actually, if I remember correctly, I think I was one of the people who encouraged you to enter those negotiation conversations in the first place, which, you know, is funny because it's always so much easier to give advice to friends than to actually go and apply it in your own life. Yeah. Do you still remember that?
Yes. I mean, like, yes, in that moment, for sure. I remember like we talked on the phone for a while. I just like figured out my game plan. But also, obviously, being your roommate meant that we were always talking about these. I mean, that's why you have this podcast. We're always talking about these sort of things. So you definitely drilled it in my head that women aren't negotiating. Women aren't doing this. Like, why aren't we doing this? We deserve this.
I'm patting myself on my shoulder just a little bit right now.
As you should. I'm definitely not the only person. So, yeah.
Well, good old memories. So how did you actually end up going into those negotiation conversations and prepare for what must have been like a tough and somewhat intimidating conversation?
Honestly, it's funny now when I think about that initial negotiation, I could have prepared so much more. I mean, even though I had these conversations, I feel like in the end, it ended up being more about like, should I negotiate or not? And like, how much more should I push? Right. And I definitely could have prepared so much more. As much as I could at that point, researching the role and just like going on Google and searching, you know, what's a typical salary for someone in this role? You know, honestly, in the conversation itself, of course, they're never going to say, oh, that works, even though likely most companies will actually have, you know, they'll give you an offer. And let's say that in actuality, they plan to, if you ask, if you push hard enough, give you 5,000 more than that initial offer, right? And so when I was talking with who would become my boss, they were like, oh, yeah, okay, we'll take that into consideration. And you know that there's probably already some idea of what's allowed, but I remember feeling like so nervous, like, had I pushed too hard? But having those conversations prior helped me like really stay steady. Yeah.
Totally. And so you were mentioning like kind of early on that maybe you could have done more research. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that? Like what research should people do ahead of time and what should they bring to the conversation?
Yeah. So what I'm saying right now is just about initial conversations with a brand new job, brand new company, because this will definitely be different once you're actually in the job. But the sort of research that I wish they'd done more of was like actually, you know, what's the site? I'm forgetting right now.
Glassdoor?
Glassdoor. Yes. I think Glassdoor is usually the first one that pops up for me. But I'll just, you know, look up the role, look up the area you're in, and you can generally find some sort of estimate of your industry, your role, and in that particular city. And it'll show you the higher end, the lower end, you know, what's most common. And that's really helpful. I've found both in, again, this initial conversation and also over time, because it one, gives you something to feel confident about, right? You can say like, I know that this number is pretty typical for this. So you can feel confident in that number, right? Especially when you're brand new, again, just like I was in this moment, when you're brand new to the industry, brand new to honestly working in the real world, and all that, it's super helpful. And then it is also really helpful down the line when we're talking about negotiating once you're already working at a company.
Cool. So speaking of future promotions, you have been with your company for almost 3 years now and have gotten promoted twice. Congratulations. But every single time you also renegotiated your salary, and you were just mentioning that, you know, once you've been with the company, it tends to get a little easier because you just have so much more insight. Yeah. You know, from my point of view, every promotion should automatically come with a raise. But what happens if you're not satisfied with the initial offer? You know, on what grounds can women justify an even higher raise?
I completely agree with you. You know, every time you are getting promoted, you should absolutely be renegotiating your salary. Like, no hesitation, that should be happening. But also, like what I was saying before, right? An employer is giving you a number, but they're likely expecting that you're going to push back. And that still holds true in these conversations that come up once you're already working there. So keep that very, very much in mind. But on what grounds can women justify an even higher raise? You need to be very aware of what you have contributed. So I think as women, definitely true for me at least, okay, I have to feel... I can't just go in and just say, I deserve more. I have to, even though that is something that men do, and honestly, we should feel like we should do, I think to make myself feel better, I have to really dug deep into what I have contributed. I guess if I brought it down to 3 points, I would say that the most important things to keep in mind in these conversations are to be concise, to be direct, and to not blink. And I mean that both actually metaphorically and literally. I promise you, I am never as confident as I am when I'm in these conversations. I think for me, it's like, if I don't do it now, like there's no second chance here, you know, there's no option for me to push back again. Like it is over, right? You know, so for me, I get super confident in these moments. I also have found that talking with people actually more frankly about my numbers, like I have a few friends, like I don't think talking about your salary should be like so taboo, but I do think that having some friends that you feel confident and comfortable with just explicitly talking actual numbers with is really helpful. You know, first you have to make sure you have a number, right? And so I found that by talking out with friends, like, okay, well, here's my rent, here are all my needs, here are the basics that I need to cover, and here's what I'm hoping to cover with more a higher salary. Okay, great, that's my base. Now, talking with these friends also helped me feel like, okay, here's what I absolutely need to survive, right? And then, okay, here, let me just stack on a little bit more so that I can do more than survive. And then let me add on to that. And this is the number that I'm going to push for, because likely I'm not going to get that actual number, but I'll get closer to that, right? And so one friend gave me really, really good advice, actually. If you feel comfortable when you give that number, then you didn't push hard enough. So basically, if the number that you gave doesn't make you squirm a little bit inside, you didn't ask for enough, because you should feel as if you pushed the boundaries. Because again, remember, you are likely not going to get that number. It's art of the deal, right? Like we're playing our game, but the employer is also playing their side of the game, right? There is an art to it. So the president of my company, and actually just a lot of people at my company, are such great mentors, by the way. I feel very fortunate in that way. I don't think others will necessarily feel that way all the time, but I do had great mentors. And I actually remember president of my company saying something like, I don't ask for ranges because women tend to go lower. She always asks for a number. And so I encourage that of everyone here too. Don't give a range, give a specific number. You also want to have clear points, right, to back that up. And so for me, something that I've found to be really helpful is, before I enter these conversations, I think up a few points. So maybe it's that I'm a dependable worker, that I'm willing to push the needle, that I'm leading teams, right? Whatever it may be, whatever point. So I come up with a few themes that I want to hit, or at least I want to be prepared to have to hit if I'm asked about them. And then I come up with a list of examples. Another thing that I do, I'm going to be honest, sometimes when you're not feeling good, it's nice to get compliments. So I actually have sometimes like screenshotted compliments, and it's good for me to like just feel good in a moment where I don't feel so great, but also yeah. Super useful in these conversations. So although my explanation was not concise, in the end, having all of these things prepared and ready to go in your head will really allow you to be concise in those conversations. And then don't blink. Like I said, neither metaphorically or literally, because if you hesitate, if you kind of backtrack on what you just said, even if you're just like, you are suddenly taking away all the power that you built up with those amazing points, right? You're taking away from what you just did. Don't do that. Don't pull back.
I love that. And I'm currently trying to picture you in that room being like the badass woman that you are and listing the gazillion accomplishments. That's so amazing. So what I'm hearing is that, first of all, why is talking about your salary or your finances in general so frowned upon, you know, doing that in front of other people? I mean, I'm thinking, there's so much personal details that we share with people, especially with our friends all the time, like, yeah, for example, about our love lives and stuff like that. So why can we not do that about our finances and our salary? So really great piece of advice there to just talk about real numbers. And then second, what I was remembering from everything that you just said was the fact that you actually had kind of a female mentor, which is the president of your company, who actually kind of encouraged you to have the guts to negotiate your salary. I think not everyone might be so lucky to be in that environment, and you also already pointed that out yourself, but that's really powerful, I feel, because at the end of the day, women, especially more senior women, they were once in our shoes, right? So they know what it's like to have those tough conversations and to really stand up for yourself. So you, Eden, are not only a woman, but you are also a woman of color. And unfortunately, on average, women of color still get significantly underpaid in our society. And I am very privileged white girl, so I will never be able to fully understand what it's like to suffer from racial discrimination. But in addition to being a woman, in what ways has your racial identity maybe contributed to feelings of anxiety or lack of confidence when you were thinking about salary and negotiating your pay?
Yes, I am a Black woman. Throughout my life and a lot of things I do, you know, constantly feeling like, oh, I'm here to fill a quota, or, you know, that's what people think. So it brings definitely an extra layer of anxiety and pressure in everything that I do, where I have to feel like doing the same level of work is just not always going to cut it, to seem as good as a white male sometimes. I definitely do put in a lot more, or at least, you know, it feels that way to be viewed in the same way or to be viewed as a leader, right? So I definitely think when it comes specifically to salaries and negotiating pay, it's those feelings of feeling like, again, I've been given permission to enter the room, right? At least to me, it does sometimes feel like it's a little bit more because, again, always being told that, oh, you're here because you're Black and you're just smart enough, maybe. When it comes to salaries and negotiating pay, honestly, I've started to enter this mindset of I just have to do it. I have to push now because if I don't show that I'm willing to stand up for myself, who will? Even though I'm, again, very fortunate to have mentors in my company, I do think that you have to push harder than you're being pushed on. And that's unfortunately the advice that I have to give right now because of the realities of our world, right? People aren't always cognizant of the layers and layers and layers of this, right? We think about being a woman, but, you know, what about being a woman of color? What about being a woman of color who's not straight necessarily, you know, goes on and on and on, right? And so, I mean, I am nowhere near the first Black woman to be making these pushes. It's because of other Black women before me, right, that I am even able to be in this position to push back and feel confident enough. The more I push back, the more I feel others can eventually down the line feel like they can push back until it's, I don't know how many years from now, is more normalized, both for women and women of color.
I'm really sorry to hear that, Eden, but please just know you are enough. You are more than enough. You are strong. You are talented. You are loved. And I'm so, so glad that, you know, at your current company that you are appreciated. Thank you also for being so vulnerable with us today. It's definitely a really tough conversation to have, but hopefully some people who maybe lack the awareness and have that unconscious bias, maybe they will have learned something.
Yeah, I definitely hope so.
We're close to wrapping up, but maybe my last question for you today, Eden, what advice would you give to women who feel very anxious about this whole topic of salary negotiation?
I definitely relate. I have definitely a lot of anxiety about a lot of things, but this topic is something that I've grown to feel more comfortable with, fortunately, over the years. So I think for me, a lot of my anxiety comes from not feeling prepared or feeling like I'm not prepared, even though maybe I'm perfectly prepared, right? So it's the feeling of not having something to hold on to, not having something concrete to use. So I do really think that people who feel very anxious about this, it comes down to, it just really, 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 even more so, comes down to having facts to hold on to, right? Whether the fact is, this is how much people who do what I'm doing typically make, or it's, this is what I do and contribute to this company. You know, these are all facts. You're not painting, you're not painting a story here, a fake story. This is your real life contribution. And this is really what people make in your role, right? So you can feel at the very least that these are jumping off points. You can have something to hold onto. And so I think it's so important to have those things as well as, again, having those conversations with your friends. I just really think it's so important to have something to hold on to, and those are the biggest things that you can hold on to and use to feel comfortable in these conversations.
Awesome. Such great advice you shared with us today, Eden. Thank you so, so much, not just for sharing those tips and tricks with us, but also for paving the way for future generations of women. So great to have you.
Thanks, Jamina. Thanks for having me on. I feel so honored for you to invite me on. And
don't be silly.
I think for everyone who's listening, I know without a doubt that this podcast is going to be a really great resource. When Jamina and I were roommates, I feel like we were always, both when we were roommates and even now, right, Jamina, we're just constantly pushing each other and telling each other, oh, do this, here's advice, right? And so I have no doubt that this is going to be a really good resource for women of all sorts to feel confident and pushing in all aspects of our lives.
Thank you, Eden, for those kind words. If you all out there would like to get a chance to have a one-on-one conversation with Eden, go ahead and leave a review on Apple Podcasts and also head to our Instagram page for more information on how to be the lucky winner of a one-on-one conversation with Eden.
And that concludes our show. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Since we're just starting out, it would be amazing if you left us a positive review on Apple Podcasts and shared FemHive with all your female coworkers and girlfriends so we can empower as many young women as possible. Make sure to also follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn. I'm Jamina Stoll, and I hope you will be tuning in again next week. Take care, ladies.